I mentioned that we're having a guest speaker today, my father-in-law, Greg Spencer, all the way from Santa Barbara, California. And before he comes up to preach, I'm going to read a few scriptures in introduction. Deuteronomy 4:9, you have this in your bulletins too if you'd like to see. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Jeremiah 31:34. The Lord said, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. John 14:25-26. And Jesus said, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And Luke 22:19. And Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, I pray that you'd bless us as we listen to your word now. Lord, please bless the words of Greg, and may we hear from you in a way we need to hear it today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good to be with you this morning, my wife Janet and I from Santa Barbara. I've been a professor at Westmont College for 30 years in Santa Barbara, so I must be older than 40. We are so excited to be here to see our grandkids, Miriam, Malcolm, and Wesley. Occasionally, we notice Tim and Emily are also in the house. And today, I'm going to talk a little bit about memory in relationship to Psalm 42. So I thought I'd begin with a sweet memory about Tim and Emily. When they met, they were attending a kind of missions training week, 2 weeks, I don't know how long you were there, before they went off for a year in Russia. They were on the same team together. And they came up to our house to, the whole team came up to kind of hang out for a night, camp in the backyard. It was very exciting. And after Tim left, we turned to Emily and we said, Emily, what's going on between you and Tim? She said, nothing. I said, seriously? She said, no, nothing at all. And nothing was for 6 months, and then something did. And I said, I noticed. Well, I also wanted to say that I think you're a blessed people to be led by Tim and Emily. Tim is a person of great integrity. He's a deep thinker, and he is someone who lives faithfully, not just before you in the pulpit, but at home with his wife, with his kids, and it's evident in his life. So, the title of my sermon is Don't Forget to Remember Well. I want to talk a little bit about memories. So let's just think about some memories. Some memories fade. Some memories linger. I can't seem to shake this one memory I have of going to a dance in eighth grade. I was 4'10" at the time, and the blonde beauty was 5'6". And somehow I mustered the courage to go up and ask her to dance. We danced, and as she turned to her group of friends, I could hear her say, "Don't ever dance with Greg. He's so short." Some memories are painful when they occur, and then they're funny later. Other memories that we have keep hurting. They keep hurting us over and over again. A friend of mine discovered in her 30s that her father had a second family in another town, another wife, other kids, and that he had had many, many affairs. One of her conclusions after learning this was, "Now I know that anyone could betray me. Maybe even my husband. I don't know." Many of our difficult memories have to do with whether we will or whether we can forgive. So we heard these scriptures at the beginning, before we get into Psalm 32, that memory is significant, is a significant concern. Did I say that wrong? All right, Psalm 42. In the life of a believer. So Deuteronomy, don't forget what you know about God. Okay, that's that verse. Jeremiah, I, the Lord, will not remember your sins. In John, Jesus says, says that part of the Holy Spirit's job is to remind us about what Jesus says. And in Luke, Jesus says to do communion in remembrance of me. So memory is an important theme in Scripture. So as we walk through Psalm 42, I want to encourage you to get a strong memory in your mind. Now, the psalmist is dealing with something painful. It probably doesn't take us that hard, that long, to find something in our lives that we regret, something that we might feel guilty about, something that is just difficult, maybe an unjust suffering, maybe, you know, something's happened to a family member and we just don't understand it. Maybe there's an ill-timed death of someone that we love. Maybe there's some bitter betrayal, but have some kind of memory in your mind. Try to do that as we go through Psalm 42. So, it's on your sheet there. I encourage you to read along. I'm going to dip in and out as I go. The first couple of verses, as we sang, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? So the psalmist is telling us here right away that he wants to know God. He wants to know God the way he needs water in a desert. I mean, we may not understand it quite so much up here in the Northwest, in California, after 7 years of drought. We get it. Water is absolutely precious. And that's the psalmist's attitude to God. When does our soul thirst for God? Well, often when we're in pain. I mean, I might not pray for a while. You know, I might not think that much, that consciously about God. And then something happens, and I think, God, what's going on? Where are you? And that's what the psalmist says. So let's look at verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? This is one of the things I love about the scripture. It's okay to do this. I mean, it's scripture. Where is your God? I mean, that he's able to say about his suffering, talk about his suffering. So we know the psalmist is somehow in pain, something that leads to tears. And we don't know what this is, but we know what our memory is. We know what is in our life that might lead to tears. It might be physical pain, emotional pain for the psalmist. Maybe something in the past. For us, maybe broken innocence or alienation from our children or a lie. We don't know. The psalmist is also suffering because others challenge him. Psalmist is in a bad way. I mean, he's hurting on his own, and people are criticizing him. They're jeering him. They're testing him, challenging his beliefs. How can you say you believe in a good God when you are going through this, whatever it is? Where is your God? I mean, you're going through all this, and if you're believing God, you know, isn't it you're supposed to have the abundant life? Isn't life supposed to be easy? Where is your God? And maybe this has happened to you, that some relative or neighbor says, yeah, you say there's a God, but look at your life. You lost your job. I mean, I wouldn't want that God, other people might say. And surely we've heard it said from those that we don't know, those Christians, they're such idiots. They still believe in the Bible. So there's criticism out there. And maybe if we're honest with ourselves, we say it to ourselves. Where are you, God? Where are you? I didn't sign up for sick children, for a divorce, for struggling in my job, for terrorism, for bad politics, drugs, shootings, my own loneliness. What do you do when you get stuck like this? Well, here's what the psalmist does. The psalmist remembers. He remembers in four ways. Now, I know it's supposed to be three. I'm breaking the rules, all right, but I'm going to do four. So look at verse four. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. So he's already said tears are his food day and night. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. The first thing the psalmist does is he remembers the past when he felt like worshiping. You know, I don't really feel like it right now. I mean, life stinks. But I remember when I did, and there were better times. I mean, it's pretty remarkable that he's able to do this, to think about the time that he was full of praise and gratitude. He remembers the time when God was with him. But now, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? What's going on? I mean, why have I lost my joy? If you are there, God, why do I feel this way? The psalmist is perplexed. I mean, as we get when we're in these situations. Aren't we supposed to live the abundant life? So, first of all, he remembers the past when he is worshiping. Secondly, he reminds himself what to do. Continuing with verse 5 there. Put your hope in God. Who's he talking to? He's talking to himself. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. We need a lot of reminding. And we do this a lot all day long. Oh, yeah, not just remember the milk, but, you know, remember. Remember how to think, how to believe. He tells himself, remember to hope in God. Things won't always be this way. You've been around, buddy, long enough, you know, right, that things will pass. It's going to be okay. I will yet praise him. I'm not praising him now. I just don't feel it. But I will yet praise him. He doesn't just express his sadness, even though he's free to do that. And when we're down, I mean, depression can feel just overwhelming. There's just nothing else but that. But I think the psalmist is saying how we talk about our situation matters. What we say. And in fact, I would encourage you, me, I would encourage all of us to say these things aloud. Not even just read them, not pray them in our head, but actually say these things aloud. Verse 6. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Third, he remembers specific events that speak to God's activity. He goes back in the past, probably something before his time, and remembers, oh yeah, this is what God was like. I will remember you in these great events when we knew that you did good things. I'm going to go back there and remember. It's a little bit like the first two scriptures that I had you look at ahead of time. So Deuteronomy 4:9. Do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart. I do that. I mean, sometimes when I'm down, I think, has God ever done anything in my life? I mean, and I just forget. And sometimes I think, I ought to just write these down in my kitchen, you know, on the inside of the cupboard so I can open it up and say, oh, yeah. There was that, you know, in the land of Jordan, whatever it was. Jeremiah 31, that second verse there in the backside. I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Oh, yeah, God did that. That's that thing called the atonement. That's pretty good. You know, that God forgave me. I like that. Let's remember that. Remember what God has done. The psalmist recognizes it matters what and how we remember. It matters what and how we remember. So let's take a little side excursion here a little bit for a few words about memory. Memory is not just a record of the way things are. I mean, we all know this, but we kind of forget it, right? We just think, oh, we remember because that's the way it happened. But partly our memory is how we framed what we remember. We kind of talk about it in particular ways. And we think our brains are like computers, just sort of recording everything in our hard drive. But we know better. We know that we have to work at remembering, and that what we remember isn't even necessarily accurate. All you have to do is get in a conversation with somebody else who was there, right? And they say, hey, Dwayne, you know, remember when we were talking and blah, blah, blah? And you think, oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, I remembered this part, but I forgot that part. I mean, I've had many conversations with my brother this way, and we're talking about growing up, and he'll say, yeah, remember when Dad did that? No, I really don't. But now that you remember it, yeah, that's right. That happened. Or sometimes I think, I don't remember that at all. But you do, so I'm going to trust you that it happened. I have a tendency to forget how sick I am on vacation. You know, one writer says that the memory has a superiority complex. So, you know, we go, we travel, I had blisters on my feet, I couldn't walk, I was in misery, and I get back and I say, it was wonderful, I hiked everywhere. And then somebody says, you know, you couldn't hike because of the blisters. Oh, yeah, that's right. So if our memory is partly what we choose, what is it that I should work to remember? The psalmist has some ideas about what we should remember. What are some times that God was there for you? What are some events in your life that are Mount Mizar or the land of Jordan? Though we have suffered, and we may currently be suffering, and if you haven't suffered, here's a prophecy, you will. What are the signposts that we intentionally remember? What was the Exodus in your past, the Red Sea experience? And maybe it wasn't that grand, okay? But something that you can go back to when God was obviously active in your life. So here's an experience I had of God's providence that is just absolutely unforgettable to me. I was asked to be a speaker at Malibu Camp up here for Young Life. And when you are a speaker at Young Life, all the adult guests are in the same area. And when all the campers meet in their cabins for small group, the adult guests meet in a small group also. So we're getting around and we're chatting. And in this group, there is a physician. There's a yacht hostess. Because people come to Malibu because it's so beautiful and somebody has to show them around. There are two other speakers. One, they're working together. One is an artist and one is a writer. They're writing children's books about tough issues from the perspective of the children. And they'd written one on divorce from a child's perspective from Multnomah Press. And then they were writing one on alcoholism. So they turn to us. And they say, you know what, neither of us have any experience with alcoholism, and yet we need to write this book. Can you help us? Well, the physician went into medicine because his mother was an alcoholic, and he wanted to work in a care unit. The yacht hostess was abused for 20 years by her father because of his alcoholism. There were these two working on alcoholism in this book, and there was me. My parents drank every night to drunkenness for 15 years during my adolescence and college years. Every night to drunkenness for 15 years. So they turned to us and they said, can you give us stories? Can you give us images? And I can weep now thinking about this. So it was this amazing event for me. I thought, who put this together? Who organized this? I mean, what are the chances that we could all be here together and be in this one group, everybody dealing with these same things? And one of the things I learned, I mean, I thought, hey, I came to faith. I was unscathed, right? God saved me, and God did in the midst of this drinking. But I still had issues. I am a classic ACA, adult child of an alcoholic. I am classic, okay? I hate being classic. I want to be exceptional. So I learned this from the physician and other people, and it was wonderfully stretching and supportive in that moment. And I can go back to that, and I can say, God put that together. That's an Exodus event for me. It's important to talk about these things. So we want to remember well, to speak the truth about our memories. And when we do, one important part of that is that we remember in ways that are consistent with gospel virtues. So quickly here, two virtues. One, forgiveness. When we remember, as believers, we want to remember in a spirit of forgiveness. Now, bitterness is really fun. And there's a lot of kind of phony power that we have by holding on to things in bitterness. But we're called to forgive. And for me, I started to work out what problems that my parents faced. And didn't excuse their drinking, but I began to learn more and more about the pain that my father experienced in World War II and what he saw and what he couldn't talk about. And a lot of guys came back from World War II and became alcoholics. My mom, I think, was just practically incapable of emotional intimacy. And she drank to deal with that pain. So they coped. They coped poorly, but they coped by drinking. How we talk about our memories is important. I asked you to think about a memory that you're working on. How do you frame that memory? Do you frame it with bitterness? Are you a victim? You frame it with forgiveness? Are you somewhere in process? Most of us are. Second gospel virtue is gratefulness, gratitude. We can choose to be grateful for the daily gifts of God. And we can, in our struggles, look back and see how we have grown. I mean, Paul does this all the time. There's this thing I experienced, and it created perseverance, and perseverance led to character, and character led to faith, and I can't always remember the right order. But anyway, we're not talking about memory. So, you know, we look back, and there's a hard experience that we've gone through, and we can be grateful, not maybe when we were going through it, but afterwards, we're grateful in the way that we remember. Frederick Buechner says, hope stands up to its knees in the past and keeps its eyes on the future. Think about that. Hope stands up to its knees in the past and keeps its eyes on the future. He says, there has never been a time past when God wasn't with us as the strength beyond our strength, the wisdom beyond our wisdom. To remember the past is to see that we are here today by grace, that we have survived as a gift. So this reframing of memory may be significant work. Let's return to the song. Verse 7. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. I mean, he's dealing with it. He's struggling. Whatever these issues or memories are for him, they are emotional, they're tumultuous, there is something deeply moving. But in the midst of this, the psalmist claims hope. He says in verse 8, By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. He makes this assertion, but he's still in the midst of his pain, because the next verse he says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? So, the Lord directs love. I'm claiming it. I'm remembering. I'm stating it. I'm saying it out loud. But I'm still thinking, why have you forgotten me? And this is the fourth idea about memory in this one psalm. That we hope and desire and need to be remembered. That is so deep in us. The fear of being forgotten. I mean, that's a tragedy. That's one of the tragedies of my parents drinking, is that all of us kids felt forgotten. You just forgot that you had kids, and we were growing up, and that was very sad. So the psalmist remembers God's daily work, even though he still feels abandoned. And we've all felt like this. I remember one time Jan and I are walking through the neighborhood, and we see this party going on at this house, and we kind of look in. I mean, we weren't eavesdropping, we weren't spying, but, you know, the window was open. So we looked in, and all of our friends were there, and we weren't. And we thought, well, how come we weren't invited? And we thought, oh, yeah, there's probably 1,000 reasons, but it's still that little tinge. We were left out. We weren't asked. And it hurts. Sometimes we wonder, if I stopped showing up, would anybody notice? If I stopped showing up, if I stopped coming to church, would anybody notice? If I stopped coming to that group, would anybody notice? We want to be remembered. The thief next to Jesus on the cross says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He wants to be remembered. And even Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Father, do you remember me? I'm here. I'm down here. Back to the psalm. Psalmist says, continuing at the end of verse 9 there, why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? The psalmist returns to this downcast language for the third time, verses 5, 6, and 11. But here's what I'm wondering. Does he say it with a different tone of voice this third time? I mean, we don't know the scripture's tone of voice, right? I mean, was Jesus mad when he said this? Was he laughing when we said that? We don't know. Okay, we do our best. So this line, we might imagine this way. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Just despair. But maybe after he's walked through these memories, he says it with a kind of inquisitive hope. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? I mean, maybe his tone's changed. The words are the same. But now he's thinking, you know, in light of all these things and the love of God, why are you so disturbed? Can't you remember what's going on? And then he says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Because of my experience at that Young Life camp, and many other things in my life, I have a memory I can return to. A time to remember what God has done for me, the grace that he's given me. In that event, in the forgiveness of me and of my parents. I've been working at reframing my memory. I said for decades, my parents abandoned me through their drinking. That was my main frame. And it's true. I don't stop saying that. But now I add to that. My parents are wounded people who need healing, just like I do. That reframing allowed me to have a friendship with my father. My best years with my dad were from his 85 to 95, I tell my students, there is hope for your relationship with your dad. It might come. I hope it doesn't take that long, but there is hope. So, these four themes, again, the psalmist says, whatever our sadness, we can, one, remember joyful times. Two, remind ourselves to hope, to forgive, to be grateful. Three, remember God's activity in your lives. And four, be honest with God about wanting to be remembered. This, I believe, is the psalmist's message for us this morning. Let us do these things in remembrance of Jesus. Amen.